You are now listening to the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele.
What's good? This is indeed the Calcio Corner podcast, where we cover all corners of Italian football and more. My name is Raffaele. I thank you for taking the time to listen to this, the 19th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. You can follow my personal Twitter account. It is at Italiano Calcio. You can also follow the Twitter account for this podcast. It is at the Calcio Corner. So we will start off the 19th episode of the podcast. We're talking about the recent Serie A action this past weekend. We will go with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's start with the good. There was plenty of good things this past weekend. One of those was Napoli handling a very, very good Atalanta side and beating them easily 4-1. This was very much a statement game from Gattuso's side. You know, coming into this season, not many people were giving Napoli a lot of respect. And, you know, they were kind of that forgotten side that when it came to talking about who was going to finish in the top four, who would compete for the Scudetto, you know, Napoli were kind of, again, that forgotten side. There was even talk the first few weeks that Atalanta, were they serious Scudetto contenders? And again, people overlooking Napoli. Well, Napoli, you know, they're proving to be worthy. And they belong in that conversation with Juve, with Inter, with Atalanta, with Milan. If you're talking about who could finish top four, you undoubtedly have to keep Napoli in that conversation. Victor Osimhen, he finally scored his first goal for Napoli. And you saw the way that Gattuso and him embraced each other afterwards. And that was just a great moment. And you could tell that the two of them have a great relationship that goes beyond, you know, player and coach relationship. They really respect each other. There's a lot of strong mutual feelings there between the two of them, which is great to see. Lozano, he has continued with his tremendous form to start the season. He's playing on a whole nother level right now, especially with Insigne injured. Lozano has really stepped up and played really well. You know, I've mentioned it before on the podcast. Lozano is a perfect example of why clubs and fans need to be patient with the signings they make. You can't expect every player who joins a club to just hit the ground running. It's going to take some players a bit longer. More times than not, it's going to take players a bit longer to transition to a new club, a new country, a new league, all those factors. But as a club, if you believed enough in a player to sign him, and if we're using Lozano as an example, you spent a lot of money on him to get him. You got to be patient with him. You have to believe in your scouting that he was a player you identified as someone that you believe in that could come to your club and provide a value and be an asset to your club. And yeah, it doesn't mean that they're always going to work out, but if Napoli had given up on Lozano after last season, I mean, he barely even got a crack at playing. He barely had consistent minutes. He wasn't being utilized correctly and whatnot. It totally would have been unfair to judge Lozano as a bust of a signing because it wasn't his fault. But I'm very glad that Napoli decided to keep him, and I love that they're sticking with him, and he's proven to be very valuable. And when you consider, you know, the signing of Osimhen, as amazing as a signing as that looks like it's going to turn out to be, and that he's going to be worth every penny that De Laurentiis spent on him, I think, you know, we'll be able to say that Napoli not selling Lozano, Napoli not selling Koulibaly this summer may be equally as significant as moves as, you know, signing Osimhen. So we'll see what happens with this Napoli side. I mentioned it on Twitter, and I really don't have any doubts in saying this, that I think if Napoli had gone to Turin and played Juve in that game a few weeks ago before the international break, we know the whole COVID fiasco that has ensued with that situation, that game that never took place. I think with certainty, Napoli would have gone and taken at least 1 point, and I think they would have been favored to get all 3 points. I really do think they would have gone to Turin and beat a Juve team that has not looked as sharp. You know, Napoli, they're appealing the result of that decision that awarded Juve the 3 points. And not only awarded Juve the 3 points in the win, it also deducted Napoli a point. So we'll see what happens. But I do think Juve should consider themselves very lucky that they got those 3 points awarded to them. Because, you know, at most, I think they were looking at 1 point and potentially staring 0 points down in that game had that happened. So Napoli winning over Atalanta 4-1 and dominating, that was certainly one of the goods from this past weekend. And sticking with the good, how about Milan, a massive 2-1 win over Inter in the Milan Derby? I got to give Milan a lot of credit. Not that I really doubted them, but they hadn't faced the best of competition over those first three games of the season. And, you know, they took care of business as you would want. If you're a team that's trying to compete for the Champions League spot, you have to beat those inferior opponents. And that's what Milan did over the first three games. But I was kind of a little anxious and excited to see how they would look against a much stronger Inter side. And they delivered in a big way. Zlatan, we know he scored both goals. He was remarkable, especially when you consider his age. I mean, he just does not get any worse with age. He gets better with age. Rafael Leao, who had that amazing assist on the second Zlatan goal. He's a player that is really developing nicely for Milan, and you know, he will benefit immensely from learning from Zlatan Ibrahimovic. So that's a big boost for Rafael Leao, having Zlatan to kind of provide that tutelage to him in that attacking role. Milan, they're the only perfect team in Serie A so far. They have 12 points, 4 wins in 4 games, so a lot of credit to the Rossoneri. Stefano Pioli has proven why, you know, sticking with him was the right decision, and as many of us felt, including myself, it was the only decision based on how Milan closed out this past season. You know, yes, Inter weren't at full strength. You know, defensively, Bastoni wasn't there. He's been out with COVID. You know, Conte made that somewhat questionable decision to start Kolarov in his back three defense. But still, no excuses. Inter put in a good game. They still have a strong lineup. You know, depth, while it wasn't at its full capacity, this is why they did bring in players like Vidal, like Kolarov, to provide depth when they need it. And they just weren't able to get the job done. Milan were the better team at the end. And you know, this win will certainly help build on the confidence that they've developed early this season. And when you have a fairly young squad, a win like this could definitely, you know, kick off a big run, or continue a big run, because they have won all 4 games. So I was really impressed with the Rossoneri this past weekend. One more quick good from this past weekend. How about the quote-unquote old guys getting it done for Roma and their big 5-2 win over Benevento? Roma looked really sharp in that game. Pedro scored a goal. Edin Dzeko scored 2 goals. Mkhitaryan played well in addition in attack. So, you know, those 3 quote-unquote old guys, Pedro, Dzeko, and Mkhitaryan, all putting in great performances against Benevento. So good job by those quote-unquote, again, older guys getting it done for Roma. Moving on to the bad from this past weekend. Lazio losing 3-0 to Sampdoria is certainly a bad result for them. A Sampdoria side, albeit not a bad side, but not one that has looked too intimidating this season. Fabio Quagliarella, he made his 200th appearance for Sampdoria, so congrats to him. Lazio just 4 points after 4 rounds. Certainly far cry from where they were last season. You know, preseason, I did pick this Lazio side to finish outside the top 4. I actually had them finishing in 7th this season. So far, you know, that prediction's looking pretty good because, again, 4 points out of 4 games, not getting it done. They are a talented side, this Lazio side. They did not lose anyone significant. They still have Milinkovic-Savic. They did not lose him. Obviously, we know they got Luis Humberto, they got Ciro Immobile, they still got Joaquin Correa, they got Francesco Acerbi in the back. They have a lot of talent, but in my opinion, they just didn't do enough in this transfer market, especially when you consider what some of the other top clubs did do that they were going to try to challenge for a top 4 spot with. A lot of clubs like Napoli brought in reinforcements, Inter brought in reinforcements, Milan brought in some reinforcements, Juve signed some new players. Atalanta really didn't lose anyone, but they made a nice couple of signings. I just felt that Lazio didn't get enough done, and I'm not saying that's the reason for this slow start, but I think in the long run, they will finish outside the top 4. Again, I predicted them to finish in 7th, and, you know, kind of a bad loss, in my opinion, losing 3-0 to, again, not a horrible Sampdoria side, but by no means an intimidating Sampdoria side, at least from the way they've looked so far this season. Another bad from this weekend, Parma struggles continue. They lose 3-2 to an Udinese side that they haven't looked so great themselves. There was, you know, some excitement early on with this Parma club. Kyle Kraus took over as owner. There was a little bit of buzz around it. He made a few nice signings of some young players, perhaps more for the future. But they obviously lost Kulishevsky to Juve this summer, and that is proven to be beyond detrimental to the club, especially when they did not bring in anyone to replace him. Really not a smart decision by the club to not really invest that money in some solid player that could provide that spark offensively, because they look lost without Kulishevsky and they're really missing him. Parma, as of now, they are in the relegation zone with just 3 points after these 4 games. You know, and unfortunately, I did not see it coming entering the season, but it looks like they will be a team that's going to have to battle all season to try to avoid relegation, which again is certainly surprising to me. But I guess when you consider they lost Kulishevsky, who was just totally instrumental to that team and was the, you know, the battery that powered that team, and they did not replace him. So I guess perhaps it shouldn't be as big of a surprise, but a bit of a surprise regardless. Moving on to the ugly from this past weekend. Juventus, they weren't fully equipped against Crotone on Saturday. But regardless, this Juve team had to beat Crotone. I know they had a few questionable decisions. Chiesa got the red card in his Juve debut. Morata scored a goal that was called back because of a VAR decision that was barely offsides, but whatever the case may be. But you're not going to convince me otherwise that, you know, still Juve should have beat Crotone. Yes, you know, there's no such thing as an easy game in Serie A. I say it all the time on Twitter. But still, they had to beat Crotone. Juventus, they have not looked as crisp this season as we have been accustomed to over the past few seasons. There's several reasons why they haven't been looking as crisp. I know they did not have Ronaldo. They did not have Dybala against Crotone. But as I've said coming into the season, I do think part of the reason we have seen Juventus drop a few points already is tied to some of the decisions that Pirlo has made as a coach, as a new coach, as an inexperienced coach. Pirlo's going to continue to learn. He's going to continue to grow as a coach. He will probably get better, and I hope he gets better. I hope he becomes a great coach. But it is normal for him to make mistakes as someone learning something totally new and foreign to them. And some of those mistakes are going to cost points. And I think we've seen that already happen this season. They dropped points against Roma. They dropped points now against Crotone. I said it earlier. I think they were fortunate to get 3 points awarded to them in that Napoli forfeit game. We'll see what happens with the Napoli appeal. But those 3 points, if they stay awarded to Juve, I think they could be very big for them, especially when you consider how great Napoli have looked and how lackluster we've seen from Juventus so far. And, you know, this is why I ultimately did not pick Juve to win the Scudetto this season, is because some of those decisions that Pirlo's going to make and mistakes he's going to make, it's going to cost points for the Bianconeri, but can't take away anything from Crotone. They get a huge point who, you know, along with Parma, as I mentioned before, will likely be battling to avoid relegation. And, you know, this 1 point against Juve could prove to be instrumental for them. More ugly from this past weekend, Torino lose again. They have 0 points on the season. Now, they've only played three because one of their games was postponed due to COVID. But they lose 3-2 to Cagliari. Again, 0 points on the season. They're the only team without a point. You know, I felt like they would struggle this season, but I didn't expect this slow of a start, this poor of a start. They brought in Marco Giampaolo to be their new coach. He got fired, if you recall, by Milan last season in October. And we are still have a few days left in the month of October here in 2020. And it's looking like perhaps Marco Giampaolo might not even make it out of October with Torino. So this is certainly a very ugly situation brewing in Turin. You got to feel bad for a player like Andrea Belotti. I've said it so many times, he's outgrown that club. You know, he's just probably dying to be sold. He probably hoping he gets sold this January. Belotti scored both goals in the loss to Cagliari. He has 4 goals overall in the 3 games. Really good player. Just happens to be stuck on a really, really poor team. So you got to feel for him. So Torino losing again and remaining pointless on the season is my final ugly from this past weekend. As I'm recording this on Monday, October 19th, we know that tomorrow on Tuesday and Wednesday, Champions League returns. Juve, Inter, Lazio, and Atalanta all will be in action and get their group stage campaigns started. I said it when I did my Champions League preview episode. You could look back at my podcast history if you want to listen to that. I feel that there's no reason why all four Serie A clubs can't make it out of their groups. I think even Juve and Inter have a more than legitimate shot at winning their groups. But no reason why all four clubs can't get out of their group. So, you know, on the next episode of the Calcio Corner podcast, we'll certainly break down the opening group stage of the Champions League from the Serie A club perspective. But that will do it for the 19th episode of the Calcio Corner podcast. I hope you have enjoyed it. Once again, please subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. Feel free to leave a rating and comment. That would be greatly appreciated. And a special thank you to all those who already do subscribe and listen and have left comments. And until next time, guys, ciao.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Calcio Corner podcast with your host, Raffaele. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. Until next time.